Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. A world record is worth recognizing, and for one man in the St. Louis suburb of Florissant, it is a prodigious memory for a very specific genre of music that's put him in the Guinness World Records. STLPR politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum has that story.
For professional wrestling fans, the theme music that ushers a grappler into the ring is almost as iconic as someone's finishing move or signature pose. These songs are essentially auditory shorthand for the larger-than-life grapplers who captivate and enrage adherents to the squared circle. So it's not surprising that pro wrestling fans can guess theme songs from memory, especially for wrestlers who have longevity. But Paul Morad recently took this memorization activity to an unprecedented level. The Florissant native recently set a Guinness World Record for correctly guessing 35 theme songs in a row in a mind-boggling 60 seconds. And from listening to this video of the feat, you can hear for yourself just how impressive Morad's recollection abilities are. He needs to hear just a tiny bit of the song to know which wrestler it belongs to.
LA Knight, The Big Show, Gangrel, Nation of Domination, Kevin Owens, The B Street Posse, Rey Mysterio.
And that was Paul Morad identifying 7 wrestlers by name from their entrance music. And Paul Morad joins me now to talk about his world record and why professional wrestling music is so ingrained with America's cultural consciousness. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, so walk me through the origin story. How did you break this record?
Well, I saw a post on the Guinness World Record page. And they made a post about this. He's a YouTuber, Ross from Cultaholic, posted basically, you know, he beat the record for guessing themes in a minute with like 20. And I don't know, I've just been knowledgeable with wrestling. I would say it's been about 30 years now, and I've followed wrestling and know pretty much a good majority of the themes and everything. I thought, you know what, I could do this myself. So I just thought, you know, give it a shot. I practiced at home, and I was able to get a good chunk of it. I beat his record, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to see what I could do. I got it approved from Guinness, and then I got the city of Florissant behind me and got witnesses, timekeepers, and everything, and yeah, I got it certified.
Did you know the songs before they were going to come up?
No.
Okay, obviously that wouldn't have been as impressive. So I asked that question because did you have to literally listen to every wrestler theme song ever made in the WWE before you went in front of that camera?
I basically have to, you know, listen and learn. And I don't know every single theme there is, but I know like a good chunk. I'd say like 80% or so. Like I know a lot of themes from, you know, since like the 80s, you know, the past 40 years. Jim Johnson, he's one of my favorites from back in the day. He made the themes, and you know, now they have Def Rebel, which, you know, they got some okay ones, but some of them are, you know.
No, the Jim Johnson ones are classic, as we're going to establish. When you ended up breaking this record, how did you feel? I mean, I saw the video. You looked pretty excited about it, but I think you knew that you were making history when you completed it, correct?
Yes.
So how did it feel?
Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. I don't know. I thought, you know, I'd get maybe a little something, but I didn't think I was going to blow it out the water. And I was really surprised, and everyone was ecstatic, and I just was so happy.
Did you ever get a response from Ross on Cultaholic, who previously claimed the record?
No, not Ross specifically, but I did message a couple of Cultaholics, and I believe it was Tom Campbell, I think his name was, and I messaged him, and he congratulated me on it and everything. He says, oh, yeah, you might be in the books. And I said, well, that'd be cool. And so, yeah, he responded and congratulated me.
And just for people who may not know what Cultaholic is, if you go on YouTube and you search for videos about wrestling, not wrestling clips, but just people talking about wrestling, Cultaholic has to be one of the biggest YouTube sites that just analyzes and ranks things about wrestling. Is that a fair summation of what Cultaholic is?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So we hear all the time about someone breaking a Guinness World Record. Can you walk us through the process of, like, actually getting that record in your hands, either proverbially or literally?
Oh, I mean, yeah, what you talking about, like, the process of getting to
approve?
Yeah, so basically I had to apply online on Guinness's website, and then they approve it, but then I have to go through a process. I have to get witnesses and timekeepers and everything, so I got I did call a few places, and they act like I was crazy or something, but City of Florissant said, oh, yeah, this would be cool to do. So City of Florissant had my back, and they got it together and everything, and so I was able to do it at the James J. Egan Center and there, and it worked out, got it approved, and then I had to send that to Guinness, and that took time. And I sent it once, and it was like 4 or 5 months, and nothing happened. They didn't say anything. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to resubmit this. And it took months again, and then I had to wait. So it literally was it was like a few weeks ago it finally got approved. So it took like a year.
So that video that we played at the beginning, that was you a year ago?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it took a year to... Yeah, so I did it last year, but it finally got approved.
Like this year in 2026.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I guess they get like thousands of applications, and people send it in, and it just... Yeah, it was annoying, but I was happy when it finally got approved.
In this video, you end up guessing the songs in like the first half of a second. How are you able to guess the song so quickly?
It's just
muscle memory or something?
You could say that, yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to ask you to describe like how your memorization process in your mind works, but like... I saw it and I was blown away by how fast you were, because I could never get it that fast. Like, were other people impressed too?
Oh yeah, and I at News Voice of the People, News St. Louis posted a couple places, and I had it on TikTok, and there's been like floods of comment, and I did the same. I'm not gonna lie, when I saw on Guinness, I said I could do this, and so many people are commenting. One guy said he can get 100 in a minute. I was laughing. I said, well, go for it. I said, if anyone could do it. I'd like to see, but I mean, 100, I don't think that's possible.
I think in a minute, I think it is like, if I remember, I just said a half of a second. Half of a second times 100 would be,
I don't know how.
I think it'd be basically impossible. So yeah. good luck for anybody who wants to do that. But okay, let's take a step back for a second. Why do you think wrestler theme songs are so memorable for professional wrestling fans?
Well, good questions. Well, I'd say basically when you hear that wrestler's theme, it's just something when the wrestler comes out and he has his special entrance, his taunts, and it's just and current wrestler themes, like the fans have been singing along to the themes, like Cody Rhodes' theme, Randy Orton's theme, and it's just something that just sticks with the fan, and it's just the ones, I'd say the great ones, important ones, and ones that are memorable, is just something that it really gives the wrestler the expression when they come out, and it's just something that enthralls the fans.
Is there a particular wrestler that comes to mind immediately that kind of encapsulates that feeling you just described? I know that's hard because you mentioned that there are like hundreds of theme songs of WWE wrestlers, but just give one or two examples of that.
Like what you said earlier, I'd like to say Chris Jericho is a good example when he has that countdown that pops up on the Titantron. It's like, oh yeah, this is going to be special. Like he's got this countdown, and you know when that hits zero and bam, and that explosion comes, and you know he's coming out, and the fans just love it.
So let's actually play what Paul is talking about. This is from a Monday Night Raw in 1999 when Chris Jericho, who was in WCW, first arrived in WWE. That was One of the greatest moments in professional wrestling history, Chris Jericho coming to Monday Night Raw in 1999. I'm not kidding around here. When I heard that, I had goosebumps. How did you feel when you just heard that?
Oh, man. It was special. I mean, but it was coming up to it. You did know what's happening. The rumor, the floodgates, the rumors, everything, it kind of tells you who's coming. And you kind of knew, you know, he left WCW and you knew it was going to happen. So, but it was a cool moment, I'd say, especially him coming out to confront The Rock and really cut, you know, promo on him. And I think that was great.
I think it is one of the greatest entrances in wrestling history. But I want to go back to the songs and split them into a bunch of categories. So there are songs that are explicitly created for the wrestler, and then there are existing songs that wrestlers just decide to use. So let's talk about original songs. WWE, which was known at the time of the song as WWF, believe it or not, kids, it used to be called WWF until the World Wildlife Fund filed a lawsuit against Vince McMahon and company and forced the company to change to WWE. They created this song for Dusty Rhodes during his ill-fated time in the company.
American Dream. He's just a common man.
That was Dusty Rhodes' theme song when he was the American Dream Dusty Rhodes in WWF, which is now WWE. Now, for insular wrestling fans, we all know that, like, Vince McMahon chose that song and put Dusty Rhodes in polka dots as basically hazing because he didn't particularly like him, and he was a big star in NWA and WCW. But I gotta say, that song slaps. I love that song. What do you think that song is great, or do you think it's kind of like a desecration of Dusty Rhodes' legacy?
I think it was fine. You know, he's the common man and everything, and he had those little promos where he's like cleaning the toilets and stuff. I mean, yeah, it was kind of degrading, I'd say, for the guy. And but yeah, Vince, I don't know, he had something, you know, brought in, you know, except, unless you're Ric Flair or something, you come in from WCW. He kind of had a little bit of a grudge, I guess, against it.
What's your favorite, like, song that is originally made for a wrestler?
I guess, I don't know, first one, I guess, kind of my mind, Razor Ramon.
Oh, yeah. The bad guy.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Scott Hall.
Yes.
But you knew, like, when Scott Hall was coming down to that song, he was oozing machismo in his gold chains and his black hair. Man, he was so good. And he also was good in WCW because he was the first person to come out and say, you want a war? We'll bring you a war. But let's talk about songs that exist for other people. So in the modern WWE, you have Cult of Personality by Living Color, which is CM Punk's theme music. But in the late 1980s, the late, great Macho Man Randy Savage came out to the Edgar Elgar orchestral classic, Pomp and Circumstance. That is the classic song, Pomp and Circumstance, which not only is memorable for a reason I'm about to mention, but was also the Macho Man Randy Savage's theme music. So what do you think is more associated with that song? Graduating from something or the Macho Man Randy Savage?
Well, I'm going to say, honestly, graduate, because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
When you graduate. And that's everybody's important milestone in life when you graduate.
I will have to gently disagree with you. I will always associate that song with Randy Savage. And you mentioned before Ric Flair, the theme from 2001 Space Odyssey. I don't think it's actually called that, but it's iconic. We're talking with Florissant resident Paul Murad, who recently set a Guinness World Record for guessing the most WWE theme songs in a row in 60 seconds. Some wrestlers have the same theme songs, or some songs with slight variations. So, like, The Rock's theme song, it's changed a little bit, but it's still Did you smell what the Rock is cooking? And then some music. But there are good examples of wrestlers who go through radical changes in theme songs. We heard from Dusty Rhodes earlier. Here are two songs from Cody Rhodes, who is Dusty Rhodes' son, who's now probably like one of the biggest WWE wrestlers on earth.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Those were the two theme songs for Cody Rhodes, one earlier in his career and one currently. I love the dashing Cody Rhodes theme. I sometimes think about it every now and then randomly because it was so good. But it seems like people gravitate toward his current one because the one you heard earlier was a song that was playing when he was basically what's called a mid-card wrestler. So he wasn't very good. The one you heard after is one when he's winning the WWE title. So, like, is the newer one when Cody Rhodes is famous better than the old one, which has a lot of camp appeal to it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I'd say the newer one is, yeah, the old one's cool, but I think the newer one has got more to it, and I think the fans are more into the theme, and it stands out more.
So I mentioned, you actually mentioned for me that the Y2J theme is my favorite theme song of all time. I know this is a very hard question, but do you have a favorite theme song of the original ones, of the ones that were made for people, one that changed the whole gamut of WWE songs?
I got some that I like. Well, the first ones I like is the NWO theme, I'd say. I love that group. And yeah, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, those are kind of one of my favorite guys back in the day, and making the NWO, it changed wrestling. If it wasn't for NWO, we wouldn't have the boom period and everybody wouldn't have followed it. Yeah, the Attitude Era and all that Monday Night Wars, that was peak wrestling. The top, it was the ratings out the roof, and everybody, I mean, you had to watch Monday nights. So you had to, it was more like you had to watch and what was going to happen. It was really great. And another guy I also like, I like the King of Heart, Owen Hart theme
yes.
song. Dun, dun, diddle, 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 diddle. I liked Owen Hart. He was one of my favorites too back in the day. Him and Bret Hart, great matches, great feud. Owen Hart, great underrated wrestler. It's a shame he wasn't main event like he should have been, world champion. Current themes, I guess, I would say like Randy Orton, I like Gunther, the one he uses that, well, he went back to the theme that now is dun, 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 dun. I like that theme. I think Shinsuke Nakamura is good. The fans love that, and that one really stands out, I think. So, I mean, yeah, and then I got a few deep cuts, I'd say, that you probably wouldn't hear often. I like the X-Factor Uncle Cracker theme. I don't know if you...
X-Factor?
It was a group with X-Pac, Justin Credible, and Albert. And Uncle Cracker did the theme. It's funny.
Wow, yeah. That is... I know X-Pac, obviously, and I know Justin Credible because he's apparently, like, scamming people for money now. Yeah. You better believe that I watch a lot of wrestling YouTube videos based off our guest's reaction. And then Albert actually returned as kind of like a Japanese wrestler because I guess he had been in Japan for a while.
Yeah.
I don't. Is he like a trainer now or something? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So if you haven't noticed, we both have real tangible attachment to professional wrestling. It's remained part of our lives for decades. I'm using "our" very purposely because I told Paul before he came in that, like, one of the seminal moments of my entire life is going to see WrestleMania 13 with my dad at the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago and seeing Bret Hart, Stone Cold, Steve Austin in that I Quit match, which is probably one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. And it also brought me really close to my dad. So now is the main event. And it's the reason that we brought you here, and to showcase your wrestling theme song recollection abilities. But we're not going to play clips. You're going to listen to me hum the songs, and you are going to guess the songs. So here's the first one. Say his name and...
Joe Hendry.
It's a shameful thing.
Sheamus.
Do 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 do.
Bret Hart.
I hear a voice.
Randy Orton.
My time is up. My time is now.
Oh, he can't. John Cena.
Those are the only ones I have.
Oh, that's okay.
I think that's enough. Is there anything else you'd like to add, not only about your world record, but just anything about wrestling that we haven't touched on yet?
It's just wrestling is it's been a part of my life for, like I said, I've been following for 30 years, and I just enjoy it. And the fact that I broke a record, I couldn't believe it, and it's great to be a part of Guinness. And then I would like wrestling to be kind of up there again like it was back in the day, and I hope but these other companies can do well too, AEW and things like that. I like to see another war possibly, even though AEW's not there yet against WWE, but I'd like AEW to be on that same level. I'd really like to see another, maybe get the best out of both worlds.
That was Florissant resident Paul Murad speaking last week to STL PR politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Murad was recently recognized by the Guinness World Records for correctly guessing the theme songs of 35 wrestlers in just 60 seconds.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum. Audio editing by Danny Wisentowski.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.